Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. As we're thinking about creation today and tomorrow, this verse offers us a very important perspective on our defense of biblical creation. Hebrews 11:3. Scripture says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Now, the subject matter of this verse is obviously creation out of nothing. Creation of time and space and matter, spoken into existence by Almighty God using no resources, nothing that was seen. Time, space, and matter are all included in this assertion of this verse, in the subject matter of this verse. The Greek word translated worlds or universe here has a definite element of time. It can be translated ages. But it's all-encompassing of those things. It covers the beginning of creation. It covers the time and the progression of that creation spoken into existence. All of the physical features of the universe, including the beginning and the progression in time. Things which are seen involve matter in space. So everything, this verse is asserting, that God created out of nothing. That's the subject matter of the verse. And there is an important assertion in the verse. Scripture says that we understand what God has done in creation by faith. Point blank. It says, by faith, we understand. God made everything out of nothing by speaking it into existence. He did it just the way he said he did it in his revelation in the book of Genesis. Six literal days, a little more than 6,000 years ago, spoken into existence by God and caused to operate in time by him. That's a straightforward assertion. It's accepted and loved by some. It's rejected and hated by some, and there are all sorts of people in the middle who are just pick their spot. But think about the chasm between those who love and accept and those who hate and reject. The difference between these two camps is not a matter of intelligence. You get smart people and not so smart people on both sides. The difference is not that some people are more disposed to be religious than other people are. And as we heard in the first hour, the difference is not science. It's not that some people like science and some people don't like science. We all have the same science. We're all looking at the same evidence. And the difference is that we interpret the science differently depending on whether or not we have faith. We look at the same things and we reach the opposite conclusions. We look at the Grand Canyon and we see obvious evidence of a global flood filling up a bowl and spilling out and digging a ditch. They look at the Grand Canyon and see obvious evidence of a river working in a steady state over millions and millions of years uphill. We look at fossil evidence and then we compare that to the animal and plant life on the earth today. And we see that things reproduce after their kind. They look at the fossil evidence and they look at the animals that are and plant life on the earth today, and they conclude that there must be thousands of transitional species that nobody has ever found any evidence of, but it has to be. We see order and design and meaning, and they see chaos and random chance. Why so far apart? Why is there no common ground between these two camps? Well, this verse gives the foundational reason why we are so far apart. It's because these things are understood by faith. Now, it is possible for someone to be yet unbelieving and to be a creationist philosophically. And it is possible for someone to be a genuine Christian and still be confused about our origins and think that maybe God used evolution or some other thing that is in conflict with the Scripture. It's possible for those things to exist, for those people to be in those conditions. But this verse is telling us something incredibly important, that real understanding of creation comes by faith. It doesn't come by intellect. It doesn't come by science. It is by faith. By faith we understand what God has done. And that means that when people cannot believe creation, even when confronted with overwhelming evidence, it is faith that is lacking. Faith is the essential ingredient, the true understanding. But we have to be pretty careful with this word faith. We have to know what we're talking about. Everybody has faith in something that they believe. But when the Bible talks about faith, the meaning is very specific and it is very, very narrow. It doesn't include all these random ideas about faith that are so popular in the world. Biblical faith is always faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith in Jesus exactly as he is defined in Scripture, not the one somebody made up. Faith in Jesus and what he did. It's faith in his substitutionary sacrifice made on the cross to pay for the sins of those who would believe. That's the faith that the Bible talks about. That's the faith that is referenced in Hebrews 11:3. It's very specific, and it's the only faith that the Bible ever affirms. Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you must be saved." Now, Jesus is the one being spoken of in that passage. His is the name by which you must be saved. Every other belief system is categorized by the Bible as being false and as coming from the father of lies, which was the name Jesus gave to Satan. So when the world rails against biblical creation or makes it illegal even to debate the subject in certain public arenas, or when people scoff at the idea of a young earth, the essential thing that is lacking is faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Now, all of this means that we have a very specific goal in our defense of biblical creation. This is the goal of this conference. This is the goal of our lives, one of them. Now, we love the evidence of creation. If we're in that camp, we really like to see how all of this comes together and learn about what God has done. We love the logic, because everything does come together as soon as you're willing to take God at his word, beginning in the first verse of his Bible. It just all fits. It makes sense. It can be defended. And we want to be able to explain these things to people in detail and to help people to see these truths. And all of that's exactly what we ought to be doing. But in all of it, we have an objective that must not be forgotten. Our objective in the defense of biblical creation is to proclaim the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. It's salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, through God's grace alone. That's our objective. That's why we study these things. We want to tell the people of this world around us that there is a loving God who keeps his word and can be trusted. From the first sentence, he can be trusted. We want to be able to tell people that all of their sins can be forgiven forever up front as soon as they believe the gospel. There's no working this off over time. It's front-loaded. Everybody who believes has all of their sins forgiven forever right then. Our objective is that people might believe and understand and be redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ so that they can honor their Creator and love him forever. So as we think about how God has made this wonderful world for us to live in, may we remember that these things are truly understood only by faith. And may we be faithful to call those who think differently, not just to forsake evolution and embrace creation because we've got such great arguments, but to come to faith in Jesus Christ and through him to obtain true understanding of the Creator. Bow with me in prayer, please. Father, your word is so rich and true and perfect and sufficient for everything we need in life, but unless you apply it to our hearts, we will not benefit. And so we pray that you would apply it to our hearts, that we might have an attitude and disposition that is pleasing to you, that we might proclaim your gospel more effectively. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.